This week's Torah Way has been sponsored Le'ilu Rabbi Shmuel Chanoich Ben Gershon Zecher Tzadik L'Vrocha
of November Rabbi Chaim Rubin Schlitter on a Parsha theme.
Thank you very much, and I want you to know I'm very happy to be back here again. Our Parsha today is really divided into two portions. One of them speaks about the union of Avraham Avinu finding and buying a burial place for his beloved wife Sarah. And the second one is the shiloh that's taken place between Yitzhak and Rivka. I have a friend of mine who just came back from New York a couple of days ago, and one of them said, "I'll see you in Israel." I said, "Why is that?" He said, "Every portion of Chai Sarah, every year, I travel with my family to Hebron and spend Shabbos there." I said, "It's a wonderful thing. This way, you're really part and parcel of it. You're in there, you're learning it, and you see it." I was very impressed by it. I once attended a shiur of Rabbi Victor Miller Zatzal. And we spoke about this Indian that HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes out a neshama from Tachas Kisei HaKvodo, and he says, go down on earth and be a perfect individual. So he asks the question, how does a person become a perfect individual? And the answer is, you have to go through all facets of life. We have to go through sometimes wealth, sometimes poverty, sometimes good health, sometimes the opposite. And we have to go through all the facets of life. So it's interesting to know that the Torah uses in this week's parsha, Vayokam Avraham me'al p'nei meso. Avraham, he got up from the face of his dead. So normally we will translate, the Sarah is lying on the floor, and she is not alive anymore, and Avraham verifies that she indeed has passed on. But I said to Rabbi Miller, I said, maybe Yochum means that Avraham had a tekuma. He was elevated, because now he came face to face with another facet of life that's called death. And I want you to know that when I was learning to become a rabbi, and they told me that time in America, we have a problem in America, and it is divided into three different parts. And all of them starts with a D. One is death, one is divorce, and one is drug. Once you learn to handle these three things, then you're a good rabbi. I found out that unfortunately we haven't solved this problem as yet. These are things that are still taking place this very day. As a matter of fact, I was so distressed to hear that one lawyer in Lakewood, New Jersey, which is probably one of the biggest total centers in the world, one lawyer handled the last 6 months 41 divorces. That's one lawyer in Lakewood. I don't know if they have 5 lawyers or 10 lawyers or 100 lawyers, but whatever they have, 41. It's very distressing to hear. So now the pasuk continues and says that Avraham zokein bo bayomim. Avraham, he advanced in age, and he came with the days before Hashem. What's the Torah want to teach us with this? That's an interesting story that goes along with it. There was a man, he went sightseeing in a certain town. He wanted to see all the important buildings, and he wanted to see all the historical facts. And among them, the guy that he hired, he took him also to the cemetery. And while he was in the cemetery, he was looking at the tombstones. And he noticed there it says, 6 years old, 4 years old, 1 year, 2 years old. He said, what is this, a children's cemetery? He said, no. We had a very special way of accounting for a person's life. You see the one that says 4 years old, he lived to be 70. He said, if he lived to be 70, why do you put down 4? He wasted 66 years of his life. in front of the television, in front of the, in the pool room, in the bars, in the coffee shops, internet, whatever it was. A real factual life of accomplishment, that was only 4 years. You see this one at 6, he'll live to be 80. Why do you write 6? You should write 80. He wasted 74 years of his life along the same. How many of us today, unfortunately, are wasting plenty of time of our lives? We all been given a certain amount to live, and a person take full advantage of it, not waste a minute, not waste an hour. Nothing should be wasted at all, but all of it should be spent in the performance of Hashem. Let's talk a little about Shiduchim. And why do we speak about Shiduchim? Because we read in this week's parsha of a Shiduch Alidei Shaliach, that Avraham Avinu was an old man, he was unable to travel, so he sent his trusted servant to look for a wife for his son Yitzchak. And Eliezer, who takes upon himself to do that for him, he is looking for someone who is full of chesed, of kindness. And I always wondered if a young man and a young woman, they meet, and the man, he writes down on a piece of paper his yichus, everything good about him, and the same thing on the wife's side. Now, what happened over here? If she writes down, well, I have a father, Besuel. I have a brother, Lavan. That's the kind of shit that we would want to go into. On the other hand, the Yitzchak Avinu, I have a father, Avram, and a mother, Sarah. They came from big Yichus and had good things going for me. Was that a tzukipast a match between the two of them? Book Hashem, they made it. So before someone get married, we need the approval of both parties. And therefore the Torah said this week, Vayomru, Nikro, Lenaro, Venishalo, is Piho. Let's call over the girl and hear what she has to say. And she was, of course, ready to do so. So it's kind of interesting to know that Lavan gave a blessing to his sister, and he said, Achoseinu ad hayil alfei revovo. And this is a blessing that we use until this very day. We couldn't find a better person to give a blessing. We couldn't find one of the Tanoim, one of the Amoraim, of the Rishonim, Achonim, to give a blessing. We have to take from a Rosha, a Lavan, and by every chasne, usually by the Badeking, either the father or the grandfather or rabbi, whoever is there, will say exactly these words that Lavan did. So it's a very interesting interpretation by Ben Ishchai, and that's what Ben Ishchai says. Any numbers from 1 to 10, we know we have four worlds. We have a world, Asiya, Yetzira, Bria, and Atzilus. From 1 to 10, it goes into the world of Asiya. From 10 to 100, it goes into the world of Yetzira. From 100 up to 1,000, goes into the world of Bria. And 1,000 and 10,000 goes already into Atzilus, or into what we call the Keser, the highest in Shemayim. Now, the fact is that he gave this blessing, and he said, our sister become an Alfei revolver. Why is that important, 1,000 or 10,000? So sages tell us that the good and the bad are found in the lower three worlds. In the world of Atzilus and above that, there is no bad whatsoever. So therefore he used the word Alfei, 1,000, and revolver, 10,000. That means that the blessing is above anything that bad. So even though it comes from a lover, it would have no effect whatsoever. So where was Yitzchak? And there's the opinion that said that after the Akedah, in order there should not be an Ein Hara, so because of that, Yitzchak ended up in Gan Eden for 3 years. And now, we know he was 37 by the Akedah, he was 40 when he got married, where was he those 3 years? And the fact that he was elsewhere, because normally he would be the one who should render a eulogy for his mother, Sarah, when she passed away, and he wasn't even present at her funeral because he was in Gan Eden at that time. So it says now that Yitzchak, he went out, Vayetze Yitzchak L'suach Basodeh. And we all know that the three prayers that we have, Shachris was instituted by Avraham, and Mincha by Yitzchak, and Maariv by Yaakov. How do we know that? By Mincha, they were not Losuach Basodeh, does not mean only Losuach to stroll in the field, but Losuach from the word of Sicha, of talking, and this is where we learn out that Mincha came in. Then it says that he got married, and by Vieho Yitzchak over Losoro Imo, he brought her to the tent of his mother. Now, sages tell us there was something very special about this tent. What took place? First of all, there was a Ne'er Dolok, Me'er Shabbos, Le'er Shabbos. There was a light that was burning the entire week. Secondly, there was a Brocha on Motzu Be'isa. There was a blessing that was on the dough that she would bake bread and cake. And finally, there was an onan kosher al ohel. There was an onan that took and sort of took all around the whole ohel. So it's interesting to note that when a person gets married, so the Torah says, and this is not in this week's parsha, al kein yasov ish es oviv es imo v'dovak be'ishto v'oyil bosayachod. So what does it mean? A young man, he's 21, 22, he's getting married. Who has raised him up until now? His father and his mother. Therefore, a father leaves his father and his mother? After all, if they raised him and brought him up to a chasana, he should certainly keep contact with them. So what does it mean that he leaves? I say, just give us a different interpretation. That a man who has been brought up by his parents, he's a mekabel, a receiver. A receiver, everything that's been given to him, he's receiving. Now he has to be the leader of the home, and he becomes a mashpia. He's someone who gives over. And that's where we find in the very beginning of the creation, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Adam HaRishon, from all the trees of the garden that you're allowed to eat except one. And where did he head for? Straight for the one he was not supposed to eat by. And it's very interesting because if God offers us a pear tree and an apple tree and a plum tree and whatever it is, why doesn't he try? If you want the fruit, go for that. Why do you go straight to the Eitz HaDaas? Sure, it was with the help of his wife, it was the help of the Nachas, but that's what he headed for. So Rav Shimshon Pinkus tell us, from here we learn a great lesson. I'm sure all of us have sperm in our house. Even a Jew who doesn't have a real Hebrew library of sperm, I'm sure he has a siddur in the house, he has a machzor in the house, he has something in the house. Some people have larger. I have over 1,000 sperm in my house, but everybody has. So what happens now? If we come home from the Colville, or we come home from work, so what do? We bypass the bookshelf, and we go straight to the newspaper and the magazine. Are we any different than Adam HaRishon? Adam HaRishon bypassed all the trees, all the fruit trees, and go straight for the Eitz HaDaas that brought in evil to the world. That's why everybody has to go through for another facet of life that's called death. But if a person were to stop before him and take out a sefer and learn it, what a difference it would be. Now, straight for the newspaper, straight for the magazine, and bypass all of it, just like Adam HaRishon We haven't learned very much in almost 6,000 years. Sorry to say so. I was up in one of the seminaries in Tzfas, and I spoke there to a seminary. And one of the young ladies there was 28 years of age. Her name was Lisa. And I asked Lisa, "You're 28. How about getting married?" She said, "How can I get married? I have no directions in life." I said, "Lisa, maybe you'll meet someone who does have directions in life, and he'll direct you how to live together as husband and wife. Would you believe it? It's the truth. I'm saying in shul, I would say for Torah in here, only the MS." Within 8 weeks, I received an invitation to her wedding. So obviously, she did find someone who had directions in life, and I was very happy about that. When two people get married, we don't live two separate lives. We live one life. They used to tell that Rav Aryeh Levin, that one time his wife had pain in her leg, and they came both to the doctor, and the doctor asked, "Which one of you is not well?" She said, "Our leg hurts. Our leg hurts." "What do you mean, our leg?" Everyone has their own legs. But this is what they said. You know, everything is really about us. You know, when I was when I got married, was about in the middle, I was in the middle 20s. And my wife, when she rests in peace, she had no mother and no sisters. And therefore, when she did become pregnant, we really had no one to guide us regarding how do you take care of a newborn baby. So Red Cross, they ran a certain course, and we decided to sign up. They were going to teach us how to raise a newborn baby. Now imagine me, and now I'm 25, and I'm in the Red Cross. They give me a big doll and say, "We're going to practice on the doll." Now, I stand here 25 with a big, probably plastic or rubber doll, put it over my shoulder, and learn how to burp their baby. You know, it sounds crazy, but that's the way it was. And I learned how to diaper the doll, and I learned, you know, the doll is not only for small kids. Even doll today could be for grown-up people as well. And how to turn over the baby and all. If that's something that pleases their wife, and that's going to help our marriage, then even the person got to, like say, stoop down and start playing with dolls. It wasn't my cup of tea, but anyway, we did. Another thing I find very often when we face with problems of shalom bayis is that the husbands are too skimpy with saying thank you to their wives and compliment them. The way the more they dress, provided with modesty, and the way she cooks and bakes and does everything for the husband, should be appreciative of that. A thing that irks me, really, when I see a couple go for a walk, and then one of them is hanging on the mobile phone, or maybe both of them, I say, "Is that what they had in mind?" They speak to one another, say, "Let's go for a walk." And we go for a walk. "Please leave the mobile phones at home or shut it off." And why are you going? Rabbi Abramsky, who ended up in Beit Vegan in Yerushalayim, he said he used to sit on a bench outside on the street and people saw them, husband and wife, talking to each other. I'm sure he wasn't just that. He could talk to her any place, but probably let people know that there's such a relationship of sitting and talking to together. So I think that it's important. I know here in England you have a different hashkocha than have in America. In America, the hashkocha is what they call the OU. OU, Orthodox of Union Rabbis, I think it's a union of Orthodox rabbis. And we are so concerned about what goes into our mouth. But what about what goes out of our mouth? And I think that our mouth will be open. It's a big O. And the shape of the teeth is a U, so we have a built-in OU. So just like we're concerned about the OU food that enters into us, let's be concerned about the OU also that's there to make sure that everything meets the standard of kashrus of the words that goes out with us. Another thing is that if husband and wife have something to talk about it, but not that he should talk to his buddies about what goes on in the home, or she should talk to her girlfriends about what's taking place in their dwelling. This is important. And husband and wife should realize that the Torah tells us that usually a man, his right hand is stronger than the left hand. If it comes to push, you use only your left hand. When you want to draw to you, you use your right hand with more strength. And this is how a person should try to regulate his life. I don't know if I ever told you the story. We just lost one of the great Gaonim, Rabbi Eliyashiv, Zecher Tzadik Kodesh Livrochem. And at one time, there was a young fellow, he came up to the Rebbe a few years back, and he said, "Rebbe, I want you to write me a get." "A get? Why do you want a get? You like a young man, you probably just got married." He said, "Yes, we got married a little while ago, but I have problems in the house, I can't handle them, and I don't want to live with my wife anymore, so if I'm asking you, please write me a get." He said, "Could you tell me what the problem is?" He said, "Yes." He said, "Every time my wife uses the hairbrush, she leaves her hair in the brush, and that bothers me." So the rabbi said to him, "Why don't you tell her?" "I told her 100 times, and she doesn't do it." He said, "What else?" "That's it." "And for that you want a divorce?" Rabbi said, "You haven't learned what life is all about." And on the way down from where Rabbi Yashu lived, he fell and he broke his leg in 2 places, and he was ended up in the hospital for a while. And while he was there, first in the beginning, the family and friends came to visit him, and after that, only his wife. And he saw a wife is more than just the hair in the brush, that a wife is something to rely upon. Therefore, it's interesting that the Holy Chofetz Chaim, when he used to sit in the ladies' section to learn Torah, and every night before he would leave the ladies' section in the shul, he would speak to Hashem. And this is what he said to God. "Hashem, you gave me a Mishnah Berurah." Now we know that who wrote the Mishnah Berurah? The Chofetz Chaim. But he didn't take the credit. He said, "Hashem, you gave me a Mishnah Berurah. You gave me a Shmiras HaLoshen. You gave me an Avas Chesed." And he read law, a whole lot of this for him. "Now Hashem, what can I do for you?" And this is something that we should appreciate. That we should ask our wives too, "What can I do for you? You do so much for me. You keep a clean house. You cook, you bake, you take care of the children. You do so much. What can we do for her?" And another thing is, never speak against her family. If you do have to say something, not in her presence. And another thing that we can learn out is, and I may have mentioned that before, but I think it's important to bring it down again. Everything in our homes are really straight and symmetric. One thing is crooked, and that's the mezuzah. And why is the mezuzah crooked? Because there was a dispute between the grandfather and the grandson, Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam. One wanted it to be horizontal, and the other one wanted it to be vertical. And being that they couldn't decide upon it, they compromised, and they put on a slant, so each one would be 50% right and 50% wrong. Now, gentlemen, I don't know how you get into your homes, which is not important. Either you get in by through a key, or you ring the bell, or you have a combination lock, whatever it may be. But before you open up anywhere you want, look at that mezuzah and ask yourself, why is it on a slant? Because no matter what awaits me on the other side of the door, I'm ready to compromise. I'm not saying it's going to be my way, and she's not going to say it's going to be my way. It's going to be our way. We work it out. If she did burn the roast or the chicken, whatever she had prepared, so don't fly off the handle. He's gefährlich. Take her out to eat. Come up with some other idea. And mezuzah is here to teach us to compromise. And we have a mezuzah not only on the front door, we have a mezuzah on our bedroom, our dining room, our kitchen, wherever we are, be able to compromise. They say that there was a man who conducted a Seder on Pesach. He invited a lot of guests. And they finished the first half of the Haggadah. And then the wife is brought in for dinner, a roast. Now we know we don't eat a roast on the late Seder because we're afraid people may think that we're eating the Korban Pesach. However, in the daytime you're permitted. So now when she brought in that roast that she put in hours to prepare, the man, he flew off the handle. A roast on Seder night? And the woman started to cry and ran out to the kitchen. He went after her and he gave her some more. So we asked the question, why did the man do this? He had other choices. What could he have done? First of all, he could have told her in privacy. Secondly, he could have cooked this roast for a few minutes and the roast would come off and you could eat it. Or serve it tomorrow during the daytime when there's no problem. No, he was an Amoris, flew off the handle and embarrassed the woman to the extent that it was like sticking a knife in her heart. It's not just an argument, there's something unfortunately that's going to remain. We have to use a sense of humor. We have to smile. We have to be happy. And I want to tell you, it's interesting, that usually someone who either just got married or is about to get married, we have two words. One is a bais, and one is a mikdash. The also li mikdash v'shochanti b'socham. God said, make for me a mikdash. And it's not only the mikdash itself, like we said, a miniature shul or a miniature temple, but even a home is a mikdash. But there's some home that's only a bais. He said that we wish the person that you should be zoker livnos bayis neman be Israel. Now, what's the difference between a bayis and a mishkan? Now, listen to this. A mishkan, if you add up the numerical value, it adds up to 444. A bayis is 412. When you deduct 412 from 444, you're left with 32 communion lave like the heart. Everyone can build a bayis, but not everyone can build a mikdash. In order to build a mikdash, you have to apply your heart, his heart and her heart, then you'll elevate this bayis up to a mikdash. I see the time is running short, so let me say this to you. Rav Steinman, the big gun from Bnei Brak, he has made a few trips around the world to be mechazek yidden wherever they are. Now, he's a man, he's almost 100 years old. And still he does it. And his children are probably packing his suitcase. So one time while they were packing the suitcase for him, they asked him, Tate, Zayde, whatever they said, you sure you have everything that you need? And if not, I'm going to America. They have stores in America. I can buy it over there. He said, however, the suitcase for Olam Haba, this is not something that you can do, you know, just haphazardly. It's got to be done with a cheshvin. All of us are in the middle of packing our suitcase for Olam Haba. And therefore, what are we going to put in there? We're not going to put in any clothing. We're going to put in their amos. We're going to put in their decency. We're going to put in there all the good traits that we are able to accomplish in our lifetime. This is how we prepare our suitcase for Olam Haba. And with that, there's no stores in New York or any other place that you can buy whatever is lacking, whatever is missing. Let's try to concentrate on that. And I think that just like charity starts at home, chesed also starts at home. Kindness, be kind to each other. the children are very, very, they don't miss a beat in home. If there's any kind of friction between husband and wife, the kids pick it up. And believe me, the kids today needs the very, very best chinuch they can have. And certainly the relationship between husband and wife, father and mother, is something that's most important. We want good children, we want a hemshech, we want our family to be a family that people should be proud of marry into. We have to put all our kochos into that. Hashem should give you all the siyata dishmaya, everything that you need of, and God should bless you all, and I wish you all a good Shabbos.